Welcome and thank you all for standing by. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. All participants are in a listen, are in open lines for the duration of today's conference. If you would like to mute your phone, please press star 6. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host. You may begin.
Yeah, thanks, Kira. Anthony, are you online with us now?
Yes, it's Lee here. Over.
Okay, fine. Thanks, Lee. No problem. All right, Lee, I'm about to start the official part of the proceedings, so please stand by. Hello, everyone. This is Shane Lynn, VK4KHZ, your ARIS moderator for today. Through the help of amateur radio volunteers and the crew on the ISS, we soon hope to establish radio contact with the International Space Station as it flies more than 400 kilometres above the Earth over the United States of America. This is all accomplished through ARIS, which is Amateur Radio on the International Space Station. The ISS is currently approaching the USA and travelling along at around 27,500 kilometres an hour. The contact for today will be performed using the ARIS Telebridge Network, which is a worldwide network of amateur radio ground stations that enable students to contact the ISS. ARIS is an international consortium of volunteers from several nations that assist to develop and operate the amateur radio equipment on board the International Space Station. Some of those agencies that support ARIS are the American Radio Relay League, the Worldwide AMSAT Amateur Radio Satellite Corporations, the Canadian Space Agency, the European Space Agency, the Japanese Space Agency, Roscosmos, the Russian Space Agency, and of course NASA. The amateur radio ground station that will establish radio contact with the ISS today is ARIS Ground Station AB10C, located in Hollis, New Hampshire, United States of America, and operated by Fred Kremerer. Thanks for helping us out today, Fred.
My pleasure there. Glad to be part of the contact.
This contact will also be rebroadcast worldwide through the Amateur Radio Echolink and IRLP distribution network, courtesy of Bob Pittman. We have about 5 minutes before contact time. Our ISS link-up today will be with the student participants at the iEducate Conference, Information and Technologies Branch, Department of Education, Queensland, Australia. Now let's check in with the students, and we've asked facilitator Lee Williams to please tell us about the group and the students that will be taking part today. Over to you, Lee.
Thanks, Shane. With me this evening, I have six students from Mount Crosby State School, Runcorn Heights State School, and Victoria Point State High School to ask Commander Cassidy some questions, some of which are on behalf of students from around Queensland. And trust me, it was very difficult picking to just a few questions of those to ask. Over.
Okay, thanks. Thanks very much for that, Lee. Bob, we've got about 3 minutes. Apologies for that. Fred, we've got about 3 minutes before contact time. Can you please tell us a little bit about your ARIS ground station, where you are, and how you'd like to handle the contact? Over to you.
Sure. Great. Thank you. And welcome, everybody, this evening to what hopefully will be an exciting contact for you all. My name is Fred Kemmerer. My amateur radio call sign is AB10C Alpha Bravo 1 Oscar Charlie. I've been a licensed amateur radio operator here in the United States for about 10 years. I'm located in a small town in the state of New Hampshire, which is just north of Boston, in the northeastern part of the United States. The ground station here is fully computer controlled. We'll be using computer software to track the ISS as it comes up over the area here and operate the radios and so on during your contact. The antennas involved here are on about a 12-meter tower, and they will track the ISS through its entire pass. You can learn more about the amateur radio station here at stationproject.blog. And just want to remind the students that after you ask your question, please say over so I know to key the transmitter. All right, back to you. We're about a minute and or 2 minutes from the contact. Go ahead.
Excellent. Thanks, Fred. That's really good, and certainly appreciate your assistance with providing ground station support with this particular contact. Okay, well, we have just a little over a minute before the space station comes over AB10C, amateur radio ground station. Remember, what we're doing on the ISS is an experiment, so we can never tell the results, positive or negative, until the experiment is over. And students, please don't forget to say the word over at the end of your question. As we said a little earlier, that's Fred's key to switch between transmit and receive with the radio transmitter. In a short time, the station will be coming over New Hampshire, so it's all yours, Fred. Good luck and best wishes.
All righty, thank you very much. We're about 1 minute to contact here. In a few seconds, the antennas will begin to preposition, which they're doing right now, to where the International Space Station will come over the horizon. We'll be speaking with Chris Cassidy, whose amateur radio call sign is KF5KDR today. And Chris will be using the U.S. Call sign for the International Space Station, which is November Alpha 1 Sierra Sierra. So we're about 30 seconds to contact. In a few seconds here, I'm going to begin to call Chris. And good luck to students with your contact, and we'll look forward to the experience of a lifetime. This is AB10C.
Thanks, Fred. No problem. And students, don't be too concerned if we don't get anything as soon as Fred starts calling. He'll continue to call until such time as we get a response from the astronaut. Okay, I'll stand by.
November Alpha 1 Sierra Sierra. November Alpha 1 Sierra Sierra. Any copy on Alpha Bravo 1 Oscar Charlie? November Alpha 1 Sierra Sierra. November Alpha 1 Sierra Sierra. Any copy on Alpha Bravo 1 Oscar Charlie?
Alpha Bravo 1 Oscar Charlie, this is NA1SS, loud and clear, over.
Hey, hello, Chris. Wonderful to hear you. Thank you so much for taking the time to help us with our contact today. Are you ready for the students' questions? Over.
I'm ready for the students' questions in Australia, and hello to New Hampshire. Great to talk to you. Go ahead, over.
All right, students, good luck. Ask away.
Thank you, Chris. We have Oliver.
Hi, Amelia. We sort of have two reasons for the International Space Station at the moment. One is to conduct science and push the frontiers of knowledge in space for technologies that can benefit life on Earth, as well as give us all we need to know for future space exploration. And in that light, we're learning things that can take us back to the moon and beyond to Mars for when you go there. Over.
Thank you. Now we have Kyle.
What was it like to see space for the first time? Over.
Now, seeing space for the first time just kind of blows you away. You realize that you're looking down on Earth where you just left, because when it's your first time, you look out the window shortly after the engines cut off, which is around 10 minutes after blastoff. So it's unbelievable to think that just 10 minutes ago you were sitting on the planet and now you are in Earth orbit looking down at our beautiful planet. And you, over the course of a few months up here, you get to really appreciate just how beautiful and what our planet does for us. It's a spaceship for all of us. Over.
Thank you. Now we have Amelia.
Do you ever have arguments? Over.
It's very, very rare, and I wouldn't say arguments. I would just say at times you may have a difference in agreement on what the right way to do a job is or what the next task you should accomplish. but all astronauts are pretty agreeable people, and with some discussion and moving forward, you get past it, no problem. We are humans up here, so we do have opinions and we do have emotions, and we may disagree on things, but we're all professionals and trained to know that there's many ways to do a job, and we move forward once a decision is made. Over.
Thank you. Now we have Lachlan.
Did you have any issues, personal or technical, whilst flying up towards the ISS? Over.
Good question. On this mission, we did not. We were very fortunate. Our Soyuz, which is the launch craft, worked as it was planned to do, and so far while on board, we there's a very, very tiny air leak happening right now where we're trying to close a few hatches and isolate and identify the location of the leak. It's not an issue for us personal safety-wise, but it's a technical issue because over the course of the next few years, it will use more oxygen than we had planned for, so the ground teams are trying to identify that. But short of that, we've had a very successful mission in terms of everything working as it should. Over.
Thank you. Now we have Campbell.
Was your childhood dream being a pilot and this is the progression, or did you always dream of going into space? Over.
Actually, as a child, I never dreamed of going to space. I didn't really know that it was an option as a job to apply for. And I didn't realize this until I was much older. I was probably 25 or 26 years old when it dawned on me that you can apply and you can, just like any other job, and that's how I got into it. Many of my colleagues dreamed of being astronauts since little boys and girls, but that was not the case for me. Over.
Thank you. Now we have Elise.
What mindset do you need to have to be an astronaut? Over.
Well, Elise, I think it's a mindset that helps you with any job in life, but particularly for us, we like to say that it's a fancy word called situational awareness, but it's more like just being aware of your surroundings, aware of others, aware of the spacecraft, and understanding as things happen what's the most important next job to accomplish, and that's being aware of your surroundings. Just like that can be helpful in school or at home, if you're aware of yourself, the other members of your family or your class, and what people are doing, you can be a much more effective family member and classmate. Over.
Great. Now we have Oliver again.
How did you become interested in being an astronaut? Over.
It was when I met another an astronaut myself, and in talking to him, I realized that, like I said a minute ago, it's an application. Anyone can apply, and at that point in my life, I had qualifications that might be attractive for NASA, and so I decided to just try. It was through communicating with somebody else that got me interested. Over.
Great. Here is Kyle.
Approximately what year do you predict space hotels will be physically possible to achieve? And do you think these space stations are the first steps towards developing said hotels? Over.
Well, I definitely think space stations are the first step towards developing hotels. In fact, we have one module up here temporary test module of an inflatable material, and that's sort of a test bed for future concepts of other larger modules that might be inflatables that could be hotels. I think in terms of what year, it's difficult to say, but it's technically possible in the next 5 years or so. I think in reality, it's probably more like 10 to 15 years before tourists can come up here and really stay, but we'll see. I think it's only a matter of the demand. If their demand is there and people are very interested, it could accelerate the process. Over.
Great. Now we have Amelia.
When you're in space, you orbit the Earth incredibly fast, so
Because of this, has your perception of time changed since being in space? So, how...
Oh, that's a great question, Amelia. We are going incredibly fast. We're going 5 miles every single second, and it takes us only 90 minutes to go completely around the world. But our perception of time really hasn't changed. We set Greenwich Mean Time, which is the time in London, England, on our watches, and that's what time we wake up at a normal 6:30 in the morning. We eat breakfast, we work some, we have lunch, we work some more, and we eat dinner, and all that is according to the time on our watches, and the speed that we're going around the world really doesn't impact that so much. I feel tired at the end of the day, and I'm ready to wake up in the morning. Over.
Thank you. Now we have Lachlan for one of the most popular questions that got asked.
How do you keep your personal hygiene up to standards? Example, how do you go for a shower, bath, toilet, and shaving? Over.
Well, that's a great question. If you don't keep on it, you can become a stinky person just like you can on Earth. And so we don't have a shower up here, but we have baby wipes we can use for a quick clean. We can take a bag of water and squirt it on us and use some soap or a moist towel and rub all around and kind of get the oils and grime off of us. There's not so much dirt like you would have if you were out playing in the yard. So it's really just our own body oils that we have to get off. Brushing our teeth and shaving is very normal, same way as on Earth here. My hair grows the same speed on my face and on my head, and my fingernails grow the same speed on my toes and fingers. And going to the toilet, the feeling of going is the same. We just have a different solid into. Over.
All right, students, last question. Go ahead.
Have you had a life-threatening experience on the space station? Over.
Actually, one time, it wasn't me. It was my partner and friend on a spacewalk. We were outside doing a spacewalk that was supposed to be 6 hours, and 1 hour into it, my friend Luca had a problem where water was leaking into his helmet and filling his helmet up with water. And over the course of 45 minutes that it took us to get back inside, the water was precariously close to his mouth and his nose and threatened his ability to take full breath. But we managed to get back to the
All right, students, I believe the ISS has gone over the horizon. Chris may still be able to hear us, so let's give him a big round of applause and thank you for a great contact. Congratulations, students, on a very successful ISS contact. You did a wonderful job. Back to you.
Well done, Fred. Thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, we've just shared a wow moment of history. Amateur radio station AB10C, located in New Hampshire, USA, and operated by Fred Kremerer, contacted astronaut Chris Cassidy, KF5KDR, aboard the International Space Station and spoke with student participants at the iEducate Conference, Information and Technologies Branch, Department of Education, Queensland, Australia. Now for the international volunteer team of ARIS, including the Amateur Radio Satellite Corporations around the world, the American Radio Relay League, the Canadian Space Agency, the European Space Agency, the Japanese Space Agency, Roscosmos, and NASA. This is Shane Lind, your ARIS moderator, sending my greetings to you all in amateur radio term 7-3s, which means best wishes. Well done, students. You've done yourselves very proud. Well done.
Thank you very much. Over.
Yeah, thanks, Lee. Very good job by the students. The count I had here, I think we got through 11 questions. So I think... obviously, everyone got at least one question. Some students, two questions. I think that's correct.
Yep, that's what I got here, Shane.
Okay, no problem. Anthony, any comments from your side?
No, we're all good here. Over and out.
Okay, no problem. Thanks, Lee. Well, look, certainly appreciate your time this evening. and an excellent job done by your students. Congratulations, and I hope you enjoyed the experience.
Thank you very much. We certainly did. Over and out.
No problem. Okay, operator, you may now stop the recording. Thank you.
Thank you. The recording has been stopped.
Great, thanks. All right, thanks, Kira. Excellent. Well done. Thanks, Fred. Really good job there.
Thank you for letting me be part.